Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiye Swahib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News tonight. Tensions are rising in Senegal with opposition leader Ousmane Sonko in jail and his party dissolved. And a South African alumnus of the Mandela Washington Fellowship discusses how the program is impacting Africa. These stories and more on Africa News tonight. Niger's new military junta has rejected a seven-day ultimatum Sunday by the Economic Community of West African States, or ECOWAS, to reinstate President Mahamadou Bazoum as the legitimate head of state and warned against any military intervention vowing to defend the country. France, Italy, and Spain prepared to fly out their citizens and other Europeans from Niger today. The announcement comes after a coup toppled one of the last pro-Western leaders in the jihadist-plagued Sahel region and stoked anti-French demonstrations. President Mohamed Bazoum was overthrown on July 26th by his own guard following recent takeovers in neighboring Mali and Burkina Faso. The French news agency AFP says, after hostile crowds gathered Sunday outside the French embassy and Niger accused France of plotting to intervene militarily, Paris said today it would withdraw 600 citizens and offer to evacuate other Europeans as well. The Italian government said it was putting on a special flight for those Italians who want to leave the country, adding that this was not an evacuation. It said there were around 90 Italian nationals in Niamey out of just another 500 across the country. The Spanish Defense Ministry said it is preparing to evacuate more than 70 Spaniards from Niger. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com, and there you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com.
This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
We apologize for the delay. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
People have a right to be assisted by a lawyer or to know the reasons why they are arrested. And up to now, we do not have any information about that from Niger.
That was Habibatu Gologo, Amnesty International's Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa, on situations in Niger. Details coming up. Also, tensions are rising in Senegal with opposition leader Ousmane Sonko in jail and his party dissolved. And a South African alumnus of the Mandela Washington Fellowship discusses how the program is impacting Africa. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Niger's new military junta has rejected a 7-day ultimatum Sunday by the Economic Community of West Africa States, ECOWAS, to reinstate President Mohamed Bazoum as the legitimate head of state and warned against any military intervention, vowing to defend the country. Amnesty International says the military authorities must end the illegal detention of Bazoum, Interior Minister Hama Amdou Soli, and other political leaders. Habibatu Gologo, Amnesty's Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa, tells VOA's Carol Van Dam the military authorities must respect international human rights.
There was a coup d'etat in Niger, and the president, Mohamed Bazoum, was arrested together with his family, with other ministers, and as well as other officials. The point for Amnesty International is we always react against illegal or arbitrary arrestations because people have the right to be assisted by a lawyer or to know the reasons why they are arrested. And up to now, we do not have any information about that from Niger.
Have you had any information at all about their condition, the president and the others that are being held?
Not officially. We haven't heard any information. That's the reason why we have reacted and also calling to the new authorities to make sure that they respect their rights and that they are also well treated.
Can you give us any background on the presidential guard that's led by this General Tishiani? Do you know anything about him and how he operates?
For myself, I think that we knew that, yes, of course, he was part of a presidential guard. And as a surprise, like I said earlier, on July 26th, we heard from the news, especially from the newspapers and from the media, that the president, Mohamed Bazoum, was overthrown, or there was they staged a coup d'etat in Niger. And people weren't sure at the beginning, people weren't sure if it was a coup d'etat or not a coup d'etat. But since it's been for a few days and people are reacting or saying that they have detained Mohamed Bazoum and his family, as well as they have arrested some ministers. I think it was at the end of last week. This is the reason why we are a little bit concerned.
Niger is one of the world's poorest countries. Many people, even in the capital, live in makeshift shelters. Can you describe that a little more?
As for the people, we know that Niger is a stable country. They had, let's say, many organizations, international organizations are operating in Niger. But for me, really, the question or this answer could come from Nigerians who are living there and who can better describe why and how really this happened. It was a country, a stable country, which was supported by the international community.
And that's Habibatu Gologo, Amnesty International's Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa. She was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam from Dakar, Senegal. General Abdul Hamane Tachani has declared himself head of state in Niger. Economic Community of West African States demand for the immediate release and reinstatement of Niger's elected president, Mohamed Bazoum, but that seems to have fallen on deaf ears. To shed more light on this complicated and fluid matter, we have in studio Mercy Corps Deputy Regional Director for West and Central Africa, Whitney Elmer. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Whitney. And let me start by asking you, what were the factors that led to the coup in Niger? Were you surprised by what happened in Niger this week?
You know, given the trends in the Central Sahel that we've seen over the last few years, I don't believe this was necessarily a surprise. It certainly was identified as a risk, you know, that this could happen in Niger. I think it did catch quite a few people off guard just in terms of the timing. But again, unfortunately, we've seen these trends happening in neighboring countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, for instance. So, you know, and that the impact of that broader insecurity has certainly impacted things in Niger as well.
So what do you think were the factors that led to the coup?
Security being one. In the western part of Niger, there's been pretty widespread insecurity for the last few years along the border with Mali, with Burkina Faso, in the eastern part as well, along the border with Nigeria. So I think that that's one of the main causes. Secondly, I would say, you know, a history of poor governance or governance challenges has also likely been one of the main causes. And you know, with those governance challenges, there's been an impact on, you know, the government being able to respond to the needs of people on the ground. So again, I think that, you know, it's been a vicious cycle of those different factors that led to the current situation.
It seems the military seems to have a little problem. Troops and bases in the country have not been well received by the military in Niger. They believe it undermines them. And Niger is a key ally of Western countries in the fight against insurgency in the region. So what do you think is the thinking of the army right now as they've taken over?
You know, it's difficult to really speculate how things will evolve. Of course, the presence of foreign troops has been a sense of tension or a source of tension, you know, and there are a lot of natural resources in Niger. And so I think that has, you know, again, created some discontent within or across the civil society. You know, so we'll have to see in the coming days. Certainly the sanctions that were recently imposed are likely to have a negative impact on the situation on the ground, whether that's security, whether that's on, you know, the humanitarian situation, so further worsening that. There's a lot to be determined, I think, in the next few days as things continue on.
And the big elephant in the room is that Islamist insurgency. Do you think the new military leaders in Niger might engage the Wagner group to combat the Islamist insurgency?
You know, there's certainly a risk that that could happen. We've seen that happen in some of the neighboring countries, although difficult to speculate. Right now, the limited information that's available, you know, doesn't necessarily show that there's any direct linkages there. But I think there is a risk. And you know, again, for us as a humanitarian organization, our biggest concern is how that might impact protection of civilian populations and being able to respond to the humanitarian needs already on the ground. Niger is facing food insecurity, you know, and there's about one-fourth of the population that is in need of immediate humanitarian assistance. In countries where, you know, there are linkages to some of these other outside groups, we've certainly seen a direct impact on you know, the needs of people on the ground and being able to access those populations. So that's definitely a concern of ours.
And if you see the report card of the Wagner group, it has been unable to halt terrorist advancements in Mali as well as Burkina Faso. And lastly, do you think the failure of regional organizations such as ECOWAS and the African Union to take a firm stance against military power seizures in Guinea, Burkina Faso, Mali, emboldened the military complex in Niger?
I would say yes. You know, again, I think there's people on the ground in Niger are watching what's happening nearby. Those countries all have close linkages. And so I think it, you know, for groups that are discontent or looking for some type of change, they see examples set elsewhere, and that can, as you said, potentially embolden or, you know, lead them to kind of move forward.
Okay, and in Senegal, the main opposition leader, Ousmane Sonko, was remanded in jail yesterday and his Patriots Party dissolved. The interior minister said in a statement that Sonko and his party had been calling for insurrection. Sonko is popular among Senegal's youth and has been seen as a threat to the ruling party ahead of the 2024 election. For more on the situation, VOA's Douglas Mpuga reached reporter Alpha Jallo in Dakar.
The situation is relatively calm inside, but on the outside of Dakar, it's still precarious. Now, in the district called Fikim-Gedewa, yesterday, violence were quite tense because two people are reported killed in Chigansor, in the southern town of in Senegal, where Sonko is the mayor, and also a young man was also reported killed in Fikim. So we are saying that, you know, the violence were so tense yesterday.
So Mr. Sonko is still in jail. Has he been brought back to court yet?
No. He's remanded. He's in detention. In, you know, the Senegalese judicial system, sometimes it takes people who are in detention before they are arraigned in court. So Mr. Sonko spent his first night in jail yesterday, and his lawyers are saying that they will do everything possible to make sure that he will not remain there long, so that he will try to walk out and pick a date for his trial.
His party, the Patriots of Senegal, was dissolved. What's the reaction of the people there who belong to that party?
The reaction, there are mixed reactions in Senegal. So many people are saying that it is unconstitutional to dissolve a political party that was formed about 9 years ago. But some people are saying that it is the right moment to dissolve this particular party, which is led by Mr. Sonko. If given the fact that most of those violence or most of the violence in the Senegalese political arena are always caused by the Patriots. So many people are saying it is the right moment just to dissolve his party. But people are saying that the punishment is too harsh for Sonko and his supporters because you cannot detain him. And then at the same time, you dissolve his party.
Yesterday, there were demonstrations by members of the party. What's the situation like today?
Well, until this morning, nothing happened. I saw on social media they were calling a very big, demonstration this morning. But then I'm in the middle of town, I'm in the center of town, but nothing is happening here. And until now, I'm not getting reports that something is happening also in the other areas, like, some of these volatile areas, Pikin, Gayawai, and Tembe.
That was reporter Alpha Jallo speaking with VOA's Douglas Mpuga from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Nicole Phillips, and our engineer, Zainab Abdul-Rahman, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.